Blog Talk Radio.
Our scripture tonight is going to come from Psalms 139, and it reads, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is a light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. Before one of them came to me, precious to be, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O Lord, away from me. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offense in me, and then lead me in the way of everlasting. Search my heart. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, lead me in the correct way if I'm wrong, if it's something in me wrong. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's a beautiful psalm, beautiful psalm. We should all make sure to put that down and just go over it and continue to just read that and just speak to the Lord in that manner, especially if you're trying to see what exactly it is that you want to say. Just read it back to the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we thank you, dear Father, for another opportunity to get gathered together in your presence. Dear Father, as you teach us your mighty word, the word is going to prepare us for another night and another day. There's going to be a sword on our battlefields, dear Father. We ask blessings over all listeners and their families, their jobs, their finances, their physical and mental bodies, their strength, and their health. In the mighty name of Jesus, may we decrease as you outpour your loving, lasting mercy and grace in your spirit on us right now. We receive it. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, well, this is your host, Minister Vaughn Dumas, here in San Antonio, Texas, with the Tri-Anointed Ministry. And I'm saying my hellos to each and every one of you. God bless you all. And I'm just not saying it just as a fundamental thing. I really mean it. I ask that God will bless each and every one of you, each and every one of you. A big shout-out again to all of my team at work. You are one of the best teams. Team Vaughn, how's it going on? So again, a big shout out to everyone at work. God bless everyone at the Xerox company itself. God bless Team Bun, one of the best teams there at Xerox. The consequences is what we spoke about last night of living without God's peace, and just the opportunities that he gives us is not just peace that is temporary, but it's peace that is just lasts on, and it's so powerful. It covers you, and it's so deep in your spirit. It is not just a, you know, sometimes you have to fake it till you make it. You have to put a smile on your face, even though that, you know, you just toe up on the inside, and every time you halfway turn your head, you know, the smile is gone because you just broke down. But God said he'll give you a peace that even though the hurt is inside, he'll give you some peace inside with it. And that peace radiates to the outside, and it allows you to go on about your day. It allows you to go on about your week. It allows you to still bless others. It allows you to still pray with others without even mentioning what's going on with you. That's the kind of inner peace that we're talking about. We spoke about that he said he'll keep not just your heart, but he can keep your mind at peace if you keep it stayed on Jesus Christ. And so that's the peace that we're speaking about. We also spoke about the different five different basic causes of mental illness, and we went over those as fear, hate, guilt, inferiority, and insecurity. And then we wanted to pick up tonight just to talk about what do you do with your troubles. And so it's just building on in our series that we're covering right now. And again, the name of the series is Comfort for Troubled Christians. And so we're just looking for ways to comfort troubled Christians. Of course, God's word reaches and touches everyone's heart. So praise the Lord for all of those that have given their life to Christ during this series and others. But God's word is out there for each and every one of us, and it's a powerful word, and it's a mind-blowing word. And remember, once you hear the word, you are responsible for that word. So you can't say, I didn't know that, or I didn't feel that, you know, because God's spirit is going to touch and rest upon you. And you're going to be attracted to it, and you're going to be drawn to it, and you're going to want to do it. And you may be in the midst of sitting somewhere in a bar or drinking or something, or even committing adultery or fornication. But once you get a touch of the word, you're not going to feel just the same as you used to. It's something about on the inside that you're going to get, that guilt is going to start to wear on you now. You're just not going to want to continue to do those things. And the closer you get to God, the more that you get into the word, the more that you listen to the broadcast and carry on, you're going to find yourself that you're enjoying the things that you used to do. It just doesn't excite you as much anymore. You know, that when you was a child, you played childish games. And you notice that now I'm growing up, I don't do the things that I used to do when I was 10 and 12. I don't do the things that I used to do when I was at a 20. And you see that you continue to move yourself up, and you just continue to grow. Grow in life. Don't stop growing. Grow in life. And as you grow, you'll see different things should grow along with you. And your maturity in the way that you look at things and the things that you do, even the people that you hang with after a while, their season should be, you know, okay, we've got a different type of friendship now. You know, sometimes we hang on to people and we try to drag them into all of our seasons with us, but we're supposed to leave some of that luggage and some of that mess in another season. And it, what you learned from them in that season was something that you're going to carry with you in your mind and in your spirit, the good and the bad. But we have to remember that people come into our lives for reasons and for seasons. Enjoy them while they're in that season and move on. So you're just began to grow in the things that you used to do. You just won't want to do anymore. It just doesn't feel the same. But you'll find your happiness in diving into the Word. You tend to find your happiness by getting involved and telling someone else about the Word. And you, it may be, become part of your testimony one day that, you know, that to tell someone that I never thought I would be the one that's enjoying this. But what an enjoyment it is, because the Bible tells us, taste and see that the Lord is good. And it is. So if you don't believe it, if you just try it, taste and see that the Lord is good. You say, what is the whole hype? You know, what's going on? What's it about? Hey, taste and see for yourself. You don't have to go ask anybody, because remember, we're all just flesh. So don't never put your hope in man or woman. You know, we're just flesh. We make mistakes. We do wrong. And a lot of times you say, well, that's what turns me off about the whole Christianity thing or the whole religious things, quote, quote. But remember, don't forget that you're still dealing with someone who has not moved over to the other side of eternity yet. So we're still living here, and we're in our earth suits. So in our earth suits, we're still going to make mistakes. We're still going to be strong, but as I say, there's no one out there in your sinner world that's not making mistakes either, but you still can hang with them. So, you know, you can, at least you're on the right side of the track praying for these here to do better, and maybe something that God has placed inside of you that if you get yourself together that can change the ones that you say that's religious, that is not doing right. Maybe it's something inside of you. Maybe it's a word inside of you. Maybe it's a word that God wants you to say that will change their lives or get them on the right track. And it's not preaching and fussing at them or cussing at them. But it's when you become a willing vessel and you allow the Lord to use your temple, and then you open your mouth, and if he's inside of you, he'll speak to his people. You won't have to worry about you getting up there and fleshing out over the pulpit and saying all kind of cut and dice things. That's just a pure example of that. That's just your flesh. You're working out of your flesh. Your earth suit is a little too tight, and you need to loosen it up a little bit and let the Holy Spirit come in and reveal himself to his people. God doesn't need your help, and God doesn't need your help, and we do see that very often when different preachers and leaders and teachers and evangelists and apostles and, you know, get up and then they flesh out and they start to talk about what they think, thus said them, how they feel and what they would do. So we have to stick with the Word of God. So that's why it's very important that when you make up your mind that you're going to follow Jesus Christ, that you're going to get on this road. It's very important that you get in a Bible teaching church, not a church that says that, according to me, I think it should be this here. And then I am going to take a couple of verses and a couple of books of the Bible and mix it in with it, but I'm going to make a different concoction. I'm not going to use what the thus said the Lord. I'm going to mix a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and then I have my own denomination. So we have to be very careful, young men and young women, and older men and older women, whoever you are that are seeking the Lord, make sure that you do just that. Seek his face and his righteousness. Seek him first. And then he will add all of the other things. He knows your needs and your desires, and he will do the adding to those things, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for just being you and speaking to your people in any way that you see fit to. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And if you have any troubles, you know, I just remind everyone that cheer up. Cheer up, because God is keeping his promise. And, you know, it's a song that says, trouble's in my way. I have to cry sometimes. Trouble gets in my way, you know. We have to do a whole lot of time, but it's so much troubles. But through our tears, I know that it's going to be okay. By and by, it will all work itself out because God is keeping his promises. Remember that. Even in your missed time, even in your happy times, you just remember and repeat, God is keeping his promises. That should be something. You know how when you everything's amazing going on for you and you just want to say, you know, thank you, Jesus, or you just want to shout and yell. That can be one of our shout and yells, so we can just yell, God is keeping his promise in my life today. And even when you're down and out and in the dumps and maybe this is not the day that everything is going according to the way you thought it would go, just remember those are still shouting words to lift you up, to put your eyes back on him and offer that situation by saying, God is keeping his promise in my life today. Hallelujah. Today. 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 God bless. God bless. And in this world, you shall have tribulations. He already promised us that. So he forewarned us about it in John 16:33. Well, you're going to have tribulations. We're not upset, you know. We should not be surprised because we're having tribulations. he already warned us of that. He does not promise us that we're going to have a life without problems. He did not promise us that we're going to have a life without sorrow or without trials. But he does tell us what to do with them, with those trials, with those. And that's what we've been talking about. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And I know sometimes it's hard for you to be of good cheer when everything is down, but that's why you have each other. That's why we have each other. We need each other. We need each other. And you shouldn't always have to tell me, you know, I need a little lifting up. I should be observing it, and if I'm close enough with the Holy Spirit, I should be able to have discernment to know, hear from God that this sister needs a little cheering up. My brother right here is hard, been the head of a household. My brother right here now needs a little cheering up on his own, you know. Hallelujah. But the book Jesus said, be of good cheer. He said, be why I have overcome the world. Great thing to go along with that God is keeping his promise, because it tells us, in the world ye shall have tribulations. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So the world that we're having tribulation in, he's already conquered. That's why he said that we're more than conquerors if we follow through him, because he's already conquered this world that we're going to be having our tribulations in. See, Paul was in trouble. He was a prisoner on the way to Rome in a crinkly old ship. Paul was in trouble. He faced trial by Caesar, and he was not noted for friendship with the Christians at all. Not at all. But then, contrary, the wind started to blow. You know the story. And a storm, the ship wrecked, and there was no hope. There was no hope. Have you ever been in that place of no hope? You just feel like it is no hope. Do you know what Paul did in that situation? Paul spoke. And Paul said, I believe God. That was the words. He said, I believe God. Do you really believe him? We've been speaking about, do you really trust him to handle your problems, to bring you through? Do you really trust God? Do you really believe him? It's quickly, it's easy to quickly just say, yes. Yes, I do, Minister Vaughn, I do. It's easy to just quickly of course I do. But really? Really? Take some time to think about it. Maybe what we're thinking is trust is not what we're showing. Or maybe we really need to stop and say, well, why didn't I give that whole situation over to him if I really trusted him, if I really believed him? See, it's not only the words that we speak, but the circumstances under which we say them. That's what reveals our real character. I believe God. It's easy to say, I believe God. But no one ever said it under the more unbelievable circumstances than Paul. When you're down in the midst and you're stuck and your ship is wrecked, and it looks like all is just, it's no hope, fear starts to set in. Can you still say, I believe God? The story is recorded in Acts 27, and I recommend that you definitely just read over it. It gives us one of the great pictures of faith in the Bible. Acts 27. We may liken Paul's voyage to life, you know. When we read through the whole story, it truly is a voyage of faith. And, you know, I pray that this Bible study would give you some help in your own voyage of life. You know, God had promised safety for Paul. He didn't say that it wasn't going to be rough sometimes. He didn't say that the winds wasn't going to blow and that the ship would not be tossed and turned. He didn't say that the ship would not even wreck. He did not say that. But he said, my hedge of protection is still around you. I'm still with you. I just need you to believe in me. I need you to believe and own your own voyage of life. That's exactly what we're learning here in this study. We're learning what God is teaching us. He's teaching us how to believe in him, how to truly, truly trust him. Amen? Paul's consuming, again, that was, make sure you get that. As we talk about Paul's passion for years had been to preach the gospel in Rome. He had a passion, it speaks about, that he just really wanted to preach the gospel in Rome. You know, I have different passions, too, of different places I would just love to go preach. So it must be something that's inside of the teachers. We all have places that we just really want. Under the providence of God, he was arrested. He was tried, he was convicted, and he appeared before Caesar. But when Agrippa explained Paul, he might have to set him free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Now, it was not a mistake. Let's get that right. Paul was on his way to Rome with Caesar paying the fare, okay? The centurion, Julius, was given charge of over the prisoners. So he said, we launched, which meant that they committed themselves unto the sea. First, it was determined that we should sail. In verse 1, it talks about that. And then they made up their minds to go. Then they got started. They would not have arrived in Rome if they had not launched. It was a big deal for them. It was a really big deal for them. Are they even going to make this trip? Can they do it? And it's a big deal in some of our situations and decisions that we are making right now, too. We sit back and we think about the things and we really, really want to do this. But what are we actually doing to prepare for that? Or are we just waiting on the opportunity to just knock upside of our heads and say, here it is, boom, go? They really had to decide. So he appealed this thing to Caesar. And so Caesar, he's going to pay the fare for it. They got Julius, who was given charge over the prisoners. And then they decided first, in verse 1, that they decided, okay, we're going to do this thing. We're going to launch. So it was determination that they stood on, that they're going to go ahead. They're going to sail. They made up their mind. Then they got started. Now, if you don't launch your dreams and your ideas, your visions, your desires, you will not have a resolution that will match those dreams, those visions, your desires. But their resolutions had their place. What they needed, though, was just the faith to launch, to get to that resolution that he had dreamed of. He needed the faith to launch. Sometimes we have to be behind each other and push each other and get us in that right direction. You see somebody that's got a dream down inside of them, but they're just not getting started. They say they want to go back to school. They say they want to do this or do that. Start that business. Go into politics. Whatever it may be. And we have the means, whether it be financial, whether it just be that encourager. Some people are just great encouragers. Without beating you up, but they can encourage your spirit that it just rejuvenates it and get you going and make you want to go do something. That's what we should be doing for people. We should be doing for each other. See, some people never accomplish anything because they never get started. They never get started. For whatever reason. You can say, but my reason is a good reason. For whatever reason. If it's stopping you from getting started, it's a hindrance. And then others are so afraid of making a mistake or not making it or falling down. And we have Band-Aids. Get up. Put it on. Put the Band-Aid on your boo-boo and keep going. The only thing worse than failing is never trying. Falling doesn't mean that you have to collapse and stay there. it means you have to find a way to get back up on your feet. If you have to start off by just getting back to your knees, get there. Get off of your bottom. Get in the position to stand up. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. So they just never do anything when they just get so fearful. But I would rather do something wrong than to do nothing at all. You know, and then I know you look, there's a lot of people who's going to talk about you. They're going to talk about you anyway. That's the way losers do. Wow, I can't believe, you know, they went off to this big college or this big career, and now that didn't work out, so now here they are back here and working here or working there. Do you? People are going to talk anyway. At least you did something. At least you got an idea of how to get started again on the journey. Keep trying. Every time you try, believe me, those same people are going to be still sitting around doing nothing. When you succeed at your dreams, your vision, your desires, those same people are going to be sitting around doing nothing, but they'll be the first one to come up and ask you for a job. They'll be the first one to come up and ask you for advice. How did you do it? Or I could never do it because I remember how many times you had to try. So let them be. They'll still be there. Just let them be. Amen? Amen. At least as you're trying to do something, you can at least learn something from your mistake because you're there trying. There are thousands of Christians who honestly desire to do something for Christ, honestly do have a desire in the heart to do something for Christ, but they never accomplish it because they never get started. Good intentions are not enough. You know what the saying says, the road to hell paved with good intentions. Again, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Good intentions is not enough. You got to begin something, you got to launch, and then you got to get started. Paul and them, they began by talking about it. Then they decided that we're going to launch this thing. Then they put it into action and said, let's get started. It doesn't mean again. Don't get confused. Remember the ending of the story. They succeeded. But remember, it was some rocky roads. It was some tossing and turning. And the ship actually wrecked. But they survived. God never left their side. And they made it. Some miraculous things happen on the way. You have to read about the story, Acts 27. And then don't stop. Do not stop. The winds were contrary. Do not stop. Things look like it's not going to make it. Do not stop. Notice the progress of the story as you read it. Exceedingly tossed with a tempest. Is the way verse 18 describes how they were being tossed about. Neither sun, moon, or stars appeared. Neither the sun, the moon, or the stars appeared, as they were being exceedingly tossed with the tempest. Verse 20 says, neither sun, moon, or stars appeared. And all hope that we should be saved was lost. So that's where their faith began. When all hope was lost, then they had to stand on their faith. Hope was ending, but faith was beginning. That's when their faith began, the order. We launched. The winds were contrary. Start something for the Lord, and the devil will stir up a contrary wind. Each and every time, be prepared for it. Start something for the Lord. He will stir up something each and every time. So don't be surprised, because the Christian life is not always smooth sailing. Storms are going to arise. Winds are going to blow. Satan is going to oppose you. But if you start something for God, the devil will send a storm. But remember, read the end of the book. You're going to win. You're going to win. Just don't stop. Paul had been talking to God about this predicament, hidden away somewhere in the lower part of the ship. Paul prayed. Pays to be on a praying terms with God when trouble comes. It pays to be already in that relationship with God when trouble comes. Some people never pray until it's too late. Then they cannot get anywhere. Some people never pray until they're down and at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. So that's why sometimes we have to keep struggling, because God knows that's the only time that he's going to hear from us. That's the only time that you're going to open up to him. See, Jonas did not pray until he found himself in the belly of a whale. Then he started to pray, but he was not on praying terms. He was cold. He had backslidden. He was stubborn. And it took a disaster to get him on his knees to pray. Now, if Jonah had been on praying terms when the old whale opened his mouth to swallow him, Jonah could have called God, "God, help me." And the whale would have had to give him up. If backslidden, rebellious, and resisting God caused nothing else, but the privilege of prayer, it is a terrible price to pay. So the next time before you decide, you know, I'm gonna lay down my religion for a minute. I'm gonna stop this relationship for a while. It's a terrible price to pay. It'll cost you the privilege of your prayer life. It will cost you the privilege of your prayer life. And it's a privilege to be in prayer. And if this is your time and you want to come back, or you want to now be introduced, please take out the time right now. Let's invite God to come into your life, into your heart right now. Just repeat after me. Jesus, I thank you for being my all in all. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I accept all that your blood shed on that cross for me. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing me the opportunity to just come and be in your presence. I confess my sins, and I invite you to come and live inside of me and be my Lord and Savior forever and ever. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. You have an opportunity of a brand new start with God starting right now. Your slate has been wiped clean. You said, "What man won't wipe my slate clean?" They keep reminding me. Your slate has been wiped clean with God right now. You have an opportunity for a brand new start right now. Why don't you get in touch with me? Let me know of your decision to follow Christ. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, it's walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can leave a message here to Blog Talk Radio if you would like. Again, my name is Vaughn Dimas. I'm broadcasting out of San Antonio, Texas. And I believe that God is all that he says that he is. I'm so into just loving you, loving on you, whether we never meet or whether we see each other face to face. Our spirits will connect, and the Holy Spirit will join us all together. You continue to pray for me. I will continue to pray for you. And remember, God loves you. God has a whole new life planned for you. It's not too late to turn around. So I challenge you tonight. Be the best you that you can be. Look at yourself and ask your question. And the situation you're in right now, the situation you're going through right now, are you trusting God to handle it? Do you really believe that he can work this thing out? Now, this is not according to your will. This is not according to your ways, because he may have to pluck some people out of your life. Just pluck them out. He may have to just pluck and move over some other people. But according to his will, do you believe that he can work it out? If you do, hand it over to him and leave it there. But we'll come to the end of another broadcast. God bless you. You have a wonderful night and a better tomorrow. Remember, it's no need of worrying about anything. Today is the yesterday that you worried about. Today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow on the broadcast. Good night.